Nuketown Radioactive number 59 for Tuesday, November 12, 2007. On this edition of Radioactive, I've got an update on my NaNoWriMo word count, return to the topic of chess and kids, ponder what happens when you cross a unicorn with a pegasus, check out Chris's Invincible Superblog, update folks on the nanomonkeys, and review the Hellboy graphic novel, Seeds of Destruction. Welcome to Nuketown Radioactive. I am your host, Ken Newquist, and this is the occasional podcast about life, liberty, and the pursuit of geekdom. And this time around, we're doing a bit of an experiment. I am using a new microphone. Specifically, I'm using the Blue Snowball microphone. And the reason for this little experiment is not that I went out and spent $150 on a new microphone. Rather, I'm borrowing one from work to see how it turns out. We've been having some issues with this microphone at the day job, recording the podcast there. Levels are really low, not really sure what we think about it, and I just wanted to see how it would work in more of a one-on-one environment where it's just me talking into the mic. So far, looking at the levels, I've got to say, I think this is more the way it was designed. I think you're really supposed to be kind of like in front of this microphone, speaking into it, putting it between two people, and recording, we got much lower levels. Now what I'm looking at, it looks much better. It looks more along the lines of what I expected to see. So I don't know. We'll see how this experiment works. If something else, it's fun to be able to try out new microphones, right? So the big news for the month is that I am working on NaNoWriMo, which is National Novel Writing Month, and for some crazy reason, I decided to sign up for this. I've been doing fairly well. I've been writing almost every day, and my word count pretty much reflects that. I'm presently at 15,570 words. The target is 50,000 words by the end of the month. It's presently the 12th. And, well, let's see. I'm not quite halfway through the month, and I'm a little bit behind. I should probably be at about, I think I should probably be in the neighborhood of 18,000 or 19,000 words right now. But last week was a killer. I had a business trip to Atlanta. I came back, and then on Saturday I spent the game I spent the day playing games with my friends at BarbecueCon 3, which is our little ad hoc homegrown convention that we hold down in Delaware with some friends of ours who moved down there. And it was great, but I got very little writing done during those 3 days. I think my total word count was something in the neighborhood of maybe 2,000. I think I wrote a little bit each day, but I only got one really good writing day in, and the other 2 days were like 300 words here, 300 words there. So I'm still paying for that. but I am still in the hunt. I am still keeping up with this. I'm not going to give up, despite the fact I've had a few little setbacks here and there. The next big challenge is I have two game reviews coming up this month for sci-fi. The first of those games arrived, yesterday. So I need to fit in gameplay, 1,700 words a day for the novel, and a game review by, Sunday. And then another game comes after that. So it's going to be, it's going to be a very busy month for me. I think, obviously in hindsight, having these two game reviews to be done during NaNoWriMo was more than a little crazy, but unfortunately, it's just one of these things you don't really have a lot of control over. The games come out when they come out. When I originally pitched them, they were both supposed to come out in September, and things just slid, so we'll see how it goes. You can keep up with my word count by going to nuketown.com. I've got a sticky story at the top of the front page that tells you how many words I wrote that day, how many words I'm presently at, and there's a link to my NaNoWriMo profile over on, NaNoWriMo.org. So all in all, I'll say that I think it's going well. I think it's going better than I'd hoped. Leaving aside the whole word count issue, I think what I'm finding is it's fairly easy to get back into the fiction writing groove. I occasionally hit these kind of like, I don't want to call it writer's block, but these kind of dead spaces and momentum where you're like, okay, I'm here. what do I do next? Where do I go next? And it's one of those things where I just kind of take the dogs for a walk, think about it for a little while, you know, pound my head against the desk once or twice, and then, oh yeah, well, there's a good way to go. So I don't want to talk too much about what the book's actually about. I think I may do that later in the month when I get past the 25,000 word mark. I'll do another update that talks more about the themes of the novel. But all in all, I think it's going pretty good. I think my relationship experiment is paying off. That's the whole reason why I wanted to write this book, as I was talking about before, was to kind of experiment with writing characters who are in relationships and interacting with one another, rather than making it more of a sci-fi-ish or fantasy kind of book. It's much more of a present-day novel. So more on that in a future episode. Now, there's two things I wanted to talk about, thanks to feedback from listeners. The first was Chess and Kids. Last week, I talked about how I wanted to, how I was playing chess with my daughter, and Doug at Geek Acre suggested that I check out Lego Chess, which I have a link to this in the show notes. It's pretty cool. It's basically, 32 minifigs representing each of the chess pieces. So you've got a little knight, you've got a queen, you've got a rook, you've got a bishop, all done out in Legos. And it's pretty cool. I think the problem I would have with it is the kids would just kind of, the kids would get into it. I don't think we'd ever actually be able to play chess with it. But it is pretty cool. And I got to say, if you're looking for a large number of minifigs, this may be the way to go, because it's not hideously expensive. But all in all, I think it's pretty nifty. The only other thing I can think of with this particular set is I'm wondering how the minifigs work. Are they still flexible like your normal minifigs? Because that would strike me as being a little bit difficult to move around the board. I'd almost wish that the whole thing had been scaled up about 20% so the pieces were a little bit more substantial, particularly since we've reached the point where Lucas wants to take everything he can find and put it in his mouth because he's teething again. So anyway, I thought this was pretty cool, especially for people with older kids who can be responsible enough not to lose the individual pieces. What I'm thinking about doing, honestly, as the next step in chess with the kids, is to go out and get a really nice chess set, a nice, I don't want to call it tournament. I guess it would be a tournament-style chess set with a nice heavy pieces, a nice fold-out map, just because that's the kind of thing I played with in high school, and I think that it would really work well with the kids. Their pieces are too big for Luke to easily swallow. They're not glass like the current chess set that we have, and the fold-away battle map, it's probably not what you want to call it, the chessboard, the roll-up chessboard would just work well with the way our house is set up right now. So that's going to be my quest for the holiday season. If anyone has any thoughts on where I can find one of those, well, drop me an email at nuketown@gmail.com. Now, the other day I woke up and Jordan was on this big Pegasus/unicorn kick. One of her friends is suddenly really, really, really into unicorns. And as a result, we had a debate over breakfast about what you call a combination unicorn and Pegasus. I argued that it should be called a Pegacorn, which other people on Twitter, when I posted the question there, said that that sounded more like some sort of Halloween snack candy. Selganor on Twitter set me straight. He also happens to be a listener. And he's pointed out that in Dragon Magazine number 190, there was an article about unique unicorns, which listed the unicorn/Pegasus as a unisys. So it turns out that I was wrong. If anyone else has suggestions on what we should call a combination unicorn-Pegasus, well, just drop me a line. It is quite the running debate within my household. So that is the joy and the fun of having a little girl who is going from being obsessed with princesses to being obsessed with princess unicorns.
One, two, one, two, three.
Hi, I'm a Mer.
And I'm a JC.
What you doing there, JC?
Oh, I'm just putting together the next episode of Seventh Son Book 3, Destruction. It's gonna be good.
Oh, cool. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
You and 34,999 other people, baby.
It's an excellent trilogy. You should be proud.
Oh, I am. Trust me, I am. You should see me buffing my fingernails on my coat here. Hey, speaking of which, didn't we launch fiction podcasts at the same time in June?
Yeah, I launched Heaven Season 3, Earth, last June.
Yeah, well, you should really turn your eye to podcasting, something that's got a little more legs, Murr. Seventh Son is still going strong and looks like heaven shut down. You shouldn't end your trilogy in just a handful of weeks.
But it's not a trilogy.
It's not?
No, I have seasons 4 and 5 mapped out, and in between I'll be podcasting my novel, Playing for Keeps. So I'll be podcasting fiction well into 2008. Hey, what do you have on deck after Seventh Son ends?
I gotta go.
Download the Seventh Son trilogy and the Heaven series, and look for Playing for Keeps there in November at patiobooks.com.
So, Netheads, I've got two sites I want to talk about. The first is Chris's Invincible Super Blog, which is a comic book blog with mini reviews of current comics as well as retrospectives on the great titles of yesteryear. It's good reading for anyone who's trying to keep up with what's coming out next week and this week and last week. It's a good blog for anybody who's just trying to keep up with what's going on. I used to love going to the comic book store every Wednesday night to pick up my new books. You know, I'd get there as they were sorting them out. And unfortunately, it's been years since I've been able to do that. You know, the whole Geek Dad thing pretty much makes it exceedingly difficult to do it. So it's nice to be able to kind of keep up with what's going on out there, you know, reading the mini reviews and saying, oh yeah, you know, I should look for that book when I get to the store. It's just a nice resource to have. So I recommend you check it out. You can find the site at www.the-isb.com. Now, the other thing I want to talk about is Nano Monkeys, which is a daily podcast for those participating in National Novel Writing Month. It offers daily help tips in the form of 3 to 4 minute long podcasts, basically just talking about the different aspects of NaNoWriMo and National Novel Writing Month. It talks about how to keep yourself motivated, how to deal with particular writing challenges, how to how to make it through the whole process. You know, there's so much that goes into this whole NaNoWriMo thing, and it is such a marathon. I found that it's just nice to be able to have this little bit of encouragement, this little bit of advice coming into your podcatcher every day. So it's hosted by Chris Miller, PJ Holyfield, and Chris Johnson, and it has a whole bunch of folks who are contributing to it this time around, including yours truly. I have one submission in, and with any luck, I'll get another one in, but we'll see how it goes. My time is rapidly being absorbed by so many different projects this month. But anyway, it also has a forum on the official website for NaNoWriMo, and you can check out all of this by going to www.teampodcasts.net/NaNoMonkeys.
SFFAudio.com, the sound of tomorrow. Explore the limitless worlds of the imagination with SFFAudio.com. Reviews and features, audiobooks, online audio, full cast audio drama and radio theater. The ultimate source for news from the world of science fiction and fantasy audio, brought to you by the most trusted team in the business. SFFAudio.com. The future never sounded so good.
So back during the summer, I was on something of a Hellboy jag. I had just watched the movie again for the upteenth time, and I was saying, you know, I really need to get these graphic novels. And I had mentioned this to some of my friends, and my one friend, Jan, said, hey, well, I've got all of them. I said, awesome. Can I please borrow them? And I did. And I proceeded to read through, I don't know, something like 5, 6 Hellboy novels, which were really just fantastic reads. And, well, let me preface this. I love reason. I love a reality that plays by its own rules. I love a world where people make choices based on rational arguments rather than supernatural ones. But deep down inside, I'm also that 10-year-old kid who used to scare himself witless, reading tales of headless blue hounds come back to haunt the wicked, who consumed every mythological tome he could get his hands on and wishes that the things that go bump in the night, well, might occasionally be more than just a mundane cat. As an adult who's seen the horror that men and women can do in the name of gods and demons, the idea of such supernatural constructs made real is really becomes more appealing because, you know, if there really was such a thing as a demon, you could fight it. And that, ultimately, is where the appeal of Hellboy comes in. It's a world like our own, except all of the myths are real, and they linger into the 20th and now the 21st century. Only we've got somebody on our side who can go out and destroy the monstrous evil. And that's Hellboy. In the first Hellboy graphic novel, Seeds of Destruction, Mike Mignola introduces us to Hellboy, who is summoned from hell, or something like it, by a supernatural faction of Nazis led by the crazy, and still not dead, Russian monk Rasputin. He is summoned as a baby demon and raised by the U.S. Bureau for Paranormal Research and Defense. He later becomes its foremost agent, assisted by the pyrokinetic Elizabeth Sherman, and the fishman, Dr. Abraham Sapien. This tells a fantastic story that is sure to supercharge your imagination. It's got a fusion of old folk tales with modern-day sensibilities, plus techno-magic-wielding Nazis, which is just freaking awesome. It does a really good job of setting up the rest of the series. We get a look at Hellboy's introduction. We learn something about the horrors of this world and hint at the greater mysteries beyond. And those of you who have seen the Hellboy movie will, I think, still appreciate this. The Hellboy movie kind of coupled together a few of the different graphic novels into its own new mix. And while very true to the books, at least in terms of theme and feel, there are a few differences. For example, in Seeds of Destruction, Hellboy is a known hero. In the movies, he was kind of like this secretive agent that would run around in the background and no one really knew that he existed. It was more of a conspiracy type thing. In this version, everybody knows about Hellboy. Everybody knows that the demons and supernatural things are real, even if they don't encounter it every day. And I think, you know, it was just a fascinating read, and it really got me jazzed to want to do something with this. Not necessarily in the Hellboy setting, but it certainly got my brain just kind of spinning about, oh man, you know, we're tired of D&D, we'd like to play something else. We could come up with something really cool that's like this. And ultimately, it has spawned what we're hoping will be our first Savage Worlds role-playing game campaign, which is basically a pulp weird kind of game. My friend Aralar and I, who Aralar has been on the show and he's contributed many comments to the blog, we've been kind of hashing out a timeline for this and coming up with, I think it's probably end up being like 4 to 6 different adventures in which, you know, a band of heroes, not unlike the Bureau for Paranormal Defense that you find in Hellboy, is dealing with various supernatural threats, Nazis, that kind of thing. I think it's going to be set sometime in the late 30s, early 40s. And I really cannot wait to get into this because Savage Worlds is such an awesome system. It's so fast. It really is fast, fun, and furious, as it describes itself. And it's just going to work perfectly, I think, for a Hellboy-inspired setting. But enough geeking out over the possibility of doing this role-playing game. I think this is just a really good book. If you're into comic books, you need to check it out. If you're into the supernatural and you loved Indiana Jones, I wholeheartedly, really enthusiastically say that you pick it up. I'd go so far as to say that this should be in any comic book fan's collection. It's really that good.
Hi, I'm Ryan Macklin. Quit it, you. And that's my partner, Ken Cheering. Together, we do a podcast called Master Plan. And I said, quit it. Master Plan is a podcast about game design. My guests and I talk about everything from noodling out an idea, fiddling with mechanics, doing playtesting, sitting down to write, and even doing that whole publishing thing that the kids are crazy about these days. If you're interested in hearing about game design, watch it. Or listening to your favorite game designers talk about what they love to do, one more time, check us out at masterplan.libsyn.com. That's it, we're going back in the cage.
That'll do it for this edition of Nuketown Radioactive. It's a little short this week, but that's what you got to expect when you're in the middle of NaNoWriMo. There should be another podcast at some point later this month. I'm taking a few days off next week to write, so I should have a little bit of time to put out another podcast, hopefully update people on where I'm at, maybe maybe talk about the book a little bit and, well, take a break from writing because I think I may be a little bit burned out by the time next week rolls around. Anyway, I'm always looking for comments and feedback. You can send them to me via email at nuketown@gmail.com. You can Skype me. My username is Nuketown. And I have links to my profiles on Twitter, MySpace, and Facebook on the show notes.